Okay, Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin is daf Lamed Hey. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Lamed Dalid Omud Beit. So, we've been talking about the takonais that were made l'tikun olam. So, all right, we have all of these takonais for Rabbi Gamliel made, which so far have all been directly nogea the inyanim of Gittin, the bitul of Shlichus, or the bitul where there were more than one person that was supposed to, more than two people that were supposed to be signing the get, and the iser of being mevatel the get, and then the machlokas about whether it would actually prevent the bitul of the get. Now we're talking about some other tikkun that Rabbi Gamliel made, and that was to talk about things that are tikkun ha'elam, but are directly not directly nogea gittin. So the Mishnah continues, Ein amana nifra'at minichse yitomim ela b'shvu'a. So used to be that before the takana of Rabbi Gamliel, that an almana was unable to collect her ketuvah unless she made a shvu'a. Fine. That's normal. No bal chov can collect a shvu'a from yitomim without a shvu'a. The problem is that nimnu umila hashmi'a, they then prevented the almana from making a shvuah in Bezdin. Well, that was terrible, because then she couldn't collect her ketuvah. So came along Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, and he made a takona that was sheteno deret liyatomim kol ma sheyirtzu, that instead of making a shvuah, we're going to see in the Gemara why they refused to allow her to make a shvuah, but that what would take the place of the Shvu'ah is that the Yatomim should say, well, if she agrees that she'll never be allowed to, whatever it is that they make up, and she accepts that, and she makes a neder, that we would accept instead of the Shvu'ah, and then she would be able to collect her ketuvah v'gova ketuvata. And then there was also the Takana Se'elam that has the most to do with get, which we've been talking about all along from the beginning of the Masechet, which is that also ha'edim chotamim al haget bipnei tikun ha'olam. So that even though there was edus at the mesira of the get, he made a takona not to rely on the edus of the mesira of the get, but rather to have edus that would actually be signed on the get, which we'll see why. And once we're talking about Tikkun HaOlam, we have the most famous of these takonas is Hillel's Hatkona of Prisbel. And we'll see why that was considered to be a takona b'pnei Tikkun HaOlam. And this, of course, is our excuse to get back to our limud of Shvi'as. It's exactly what we're holding, was the dinim of Prisbel. Okay, ask the Gemara, why in the world? We got a Sir Richard. You didn't even hear you're welcome. Okay, we're on our way to Richie's Island. Look at this. And Richie's got the daf up. I'm telling you, I'm impressed right off of the flight. And we've got Sir Richard with us. Kol hakavod. Even the Principessa can listen in. So, ask the Gemara, why in the world would we mention specifically an almana if this is a din in everything? Afilu kule almanami. There is a general halacha, a kaimalan, anybody who needs to collect money from someone who died and left the money now to his yitomim, the din is lo yipara ela bishvua. So why would we mention only a shvua? No. What we mean is only an almana. What we mean is even an almana. Because, you see, I might have thought that even though normally someone who is owed money has to take a shvuah before he's able to collect from yitomim, I would have said that when it comes to an almana, we would not be makbid on that. Why not? Because salka daita chamina, remember that we have various takonais that make marriage more palatable for women. Because, I mean, if women would wise up, why the heck would they want to get married, right? So we need to make things palatable for them. That's called china. So we made several takonas in terms of china. And you might have thought that when it comes to the collection of a ksuvah, we ought to make it easy for an almona to collect a ksuvah and not to have to go through the hell of taking a shvuah and bezdin, and that we should let her off of this need to make a shvuah. Therefore, the Mishnah wanted to tell us that the din was true even about an almona, and that we don't let her off. And then, because of that, we ended up with this terrible problem of bezdin for some reason, which we'll ask in a moment, but for some reason, bezdin stopped allowing her to make that shvuah. And because of that, we needed the takana of Rav Gamliel. So therefore, the Mishnah starts, kamashmalan, to tell us, look, the almana is no different than anybody else. And therefore, we needed to make a takana for her. Okay, continues the Mishnah with the story. Nimnu lahashbiya. For some reason, Bezdin stopped allowing her to take a shvuah. Now, why would we do that? Ilema mishum de Rav Kahana. Maybe it's because of Rav Kahana's story. Dama Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, some say it was Rav Yudam Arav, but that there was a whole maisa. Ma'aseh ba'adam echad b'shnei batzora. A person during a year where there was a terrible famine, and he took a golden dinner, and he asked a certain almana to take care of it for him. So she took it, and she put it in her flour jar. And she forgot that she put it in her flour jar. And then, sometime later, she baked some bread with the flour in that jar, and she had the dinner inside the baked bread, without realizing that she had emptied the dinner zahav together with the flour into the bread. Then comes along a poor man, and she gave the bread to the poor man. And she totally forgot this whole story. Liyamim, so, okay, eventually, Baba Allah dinar, and he said, give me back my dinner, please. Thank you so much for watching it for me. She goes all over the house. She says, I have no idea what happened to it. Amra leyanesa mamavet bechad mi banea shalota yishayim neneti midinaracha klum. I swear, if one of my children should be poisoned to death. If I had any hanof from your dinner, I have no idea what happened to it. It's awful. And sure enough, lo hayu yamimu atimat shemet echad mibaneha, one of her children actually died. Uchishamu chachamim badavar, amru, ma mi shenishba be'emet kach, hanishba al sheker al achad kama ve'kama. If this is what happens to somebody who takes a shvuah and is saying the truth, so can you imagine what a shvuah, where you're not saying the truth, what it could be? Wait a minute. Well, first of all, I don't understand. Why was she nenash? She said, if I was nenash. She wasn't nenash. So it was really true. So why would somebody be punished for a shvuah that's true? No, it wasn't true. Because she was nenash from the dinner. How? Because if it wouldn't have been for that dinner, so then she would have had to put more flour into that loaf to take the place of the dinner. So it turns out that she got like 2 cents worth of hana'ah because of his dinner zahav. So because of that, it wasn't true. So then if it isn't true, then why did they say, Umay Mishanishba Be'emet? I thought you just said it isn't true. Make up your mind. No, in other words, it means that it's as if she swore telling the truth. I mean, she really totally believed that there was nothing at all that she had gotten out of that dinner. It simply disappeared. Maybe somebody walked into the house. I don't know. But basically, yeah. Baruch Avram's point is certainly true. But basically, so what happened over here, I mean, Tosfos asks, remember we had the whole sugya about where people would swear, you know, I swear that this is what Rav said. And this is basically Rav Kahana himself. This was the story of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, where each one would say, I swear that Rav said this lashon. And the other one would say, no, I swear that Rav said this lashon. Then it would turn out that Rav would say which one of them was right. So the other one said, so what does that mean, that I sweared falsely? No. Lipcha nasecha. you really totally believe that you were telling the truth. And therefore, it's considered to be an onus. So why over here, Tosfos asks, is she held responsible? I mean, she really honestly believed that she had not gotten anything out of that shvua, so out of that dinner. So Tosfos suggests that the problem over here is that since it was a pikudain, and when you accept a pikudain, you know at the beginning that this could bring you to need to make a shvua. And therefore, she should have been much more careful to remember what it was that had happened, because she should have all along been aware of the fact that she might be called upon to make a shvua about it. Therefore, you cannot say in a case like this, stam the libcha anasecha. It's fascinating that it's mamish. The story is with Rav Kahana himself. Anyway, so the question is, maybe that is good for the point, right? That the Rabbanan realized that the chumra of a shvua is so disastrous that they didn't want to put a woman in this kind of position, that she should make a shvua, chas v'chalila, the most awful things can happen. Maybe that's why. No, says the Gemara, that can't be why. Because if that's the whole problem, imishumha, then why does it say an almana? This would be true even if a grusha is coming. Let's say a woman gets a get, and then her husband dies, her ex-husband dies, and now she's collecting from the atomim. So it should be exactly the same issue. And we're saying it's dafken almana. They stopped taking a shvua from. Apparently, from a grusha, there was no problem. So why would that be? And in fact, alomam rabizeram b'shvua lo shana almana, bavala grusha, a grusha we are mashbiyin ota. She wants to collect her ktuva, so she would have to collect, she would have to swear if her husband had died. No, I'll tell you why. The reason that the Bezdin wanted to be extra special careful about the almana is because of the likelihood of her actually making a shvua that wasn't true. Why would that be? I'll tell you why. An almana shiny, the be'ahiyana ade katarcha kami diyatme at yeloruye hetera. Remember that the shvua that she has to make is that she was not mekabelet anything whatsoever from her ktuva before. And so suppose she wanted once to buy a bathrobe, and her husband said, no, I'm sick and tired of buying you bathrobes, you know? So she said, all right, so deduct it from my ktuva. Okay, so he buys her the bathrobe. So now the bathrobe, what is the bathrobe worth, you know? Well, 1% of her ktuva. So now she's going to have to take a shvua. She's going to have to say, I only got out of my ktuva the bathrobe, you know? So she's going to allow herself to believe that, you know what? I've been sitting here for 5 years taking care of all of my little darlings that my husband left, you know, where I should have gone out, gotten married to somebody else. I mean, I didn't even get any babysitting money during these 5 years. You don't think that that one lousy bathrobe should cover the babysitting that I've been doing, huh? Forget about the bathrobe. So she's more a heter to herself, you know, and she rationalizes that she's telling the truth. No, I didn't get my ksuba. I'm going to mention the bathrobe. That's ridiculous. Because of that, the chashash was that the ksuba that she's swearing about may not actually be the truth, that she be nichshelet in the chumrah of a shvua. So therefore, they wanted to make sure she couldn't be caught in such a thing. Rav and Shmuel both agreed that this is only a din that a Bezdin doesn't make her swear. And outside of Bezdin, however, Richie, things were just getting interesting. And now you disappear? So Mashbiinota, outside of Bezdin. I know. So, no, before the daf, you got to unload the car. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Well, all righty.
Anyway.
All right. I'm listening. Tune us in as soon as you sit down on the porch. All right. Okay, amazing. Richie wouldn't miss a daf. I'm telling you, please, I know. Okay. Baruch Hashem. So outside of Bezin, we would make her swear. Now, why is that? So Rashi learns that if she's swearing in Bezdin, which is a Shvua D'oraita, that's the Chumra of a Shvua D'oraita, is that she has to, first of all, there's two things that we learn out from Avram Avinu when he asked Eliezer to swear. One is Simna Yatcha Tachat Yerechi, and the other is to be Nishba Bahashem. Now that is a disaster, because first of all, it means that he told Eliezer that he has to hold Bris Milah, which is Nikitas Chefetz. So today that we have other Chafetzim, we can hold a pair of tefillin, we can hold a Sefer Torah, but that's called Nikitas Chefetz of Kedusha, which makes the Shvua much more chomor. And it had to be Bashem, which means that he uses the Shem Hashem. And therefore, in Bezdin, where we do that, the Shvua is a disaster. The slightest discrepancy, Chas V'Shalom, caused terrible things to happen. Okay, but outside of Bezdin, where we don't do that, so then we don't worry so much about the Chumra of a Shvua outside of Bezdin more than we would about the nature of a Neder that ultimately Rabbi Gamliel was Metakein. Now, Lamais, there's a big machlokas in about what the total differences are between a Shvua in Bezdin and outside of Bezdin. But this is Rashi's approach here and in other places. And we'll just settle for that because we're not dealing right now with the protodinum of Shvua. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand how Rabbi Yehuda could possibly have said that. Ain't he? Rav Yehuda is claiming that Rav agreed with Shmuel that outside of Bezdin, we would give her a Shvua to take. But the problem is that Rav, as we know, would never collect a Ksuva for an Almana. So how could Rav Yehuda say that he would make her take a Shvua outside of Bezdin? Very confusing. You're right. That is a problem. Kasha. And indeed, there were other reports of what Rabbi Yehuda had said in Surah, in the Yeshiva in Surah, they said it the way we just said it, which led to this problem of what are you going to do about the fact that according to Rav, we don't collect. Benarda, however, they said it differently. And that was that Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Lo shana lo beitin, avachutz lo beitin mashbinota. However, the way that they learned in Narda is that Rabbi Yehuda openly said, Avo Rav, according to Rav, Rav Amar Afilu Chutz LeBeitin Nami In Mashbinota. And this would be Rav Lataime. This worked out perfectly. This would be Rav Lataime, because Rav, indeed, Lo Magbi Ketuva Lar Malta. But wait a minute. Rav was long after the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel. So why didn't Rav use the Takana? Let him have her make a neder. Vila Adre Viligbaye. Why in the world would he not collect a ksuba for her? That's a horrible. Because Bishne Rav Kile Nidre. During Rav's tenure, there was a terrible time in which people were not taking the Dorim seriously. And because of that, it really wasn't much of a proof that she hadn't collected her ktuva. And because of that, he didn't know what to do. And in fact, it was a Maisa where there was a woman that toila came to Ravuna, and Ravuna was a Talmud of Rav. He said, I don't know what to do for you, because listen, Rav would never collect the ketuva to an almana, so I can't have you swear. So she said to him, this was a pretty smart lady, let me tell you. So she said to him, why do you think Rav wouldn't collect the ketuva? Because of the takana, midi utaima, ela dilma nakita midi miktuvati. The only reason is that you're chayish, that maybe I'm going to be collecting shalokadin, and I took some of my ktuva already, right? Chay Hashem tzvakot im neneti miktuvati klum. So she goes ahead, and she makes a shvua b'shem Hashem face mir. Chay Hashem tzvakot, that I never got anything, even one penny out of my ktuva. So Rav Huna said, well, Rav is Maida, if she is kofetzet on her own, she jumps in and she makes her own shvua. I mean, so then we didn't make her make a shvua. So then obviously the shvua is good enough. And therefore, he collected her ksuva. Now, there was another maisa where this woman comes to Rabba, who was the son of Rav Huna. So this was a generation later. So he tells her, what am I supposed to do? Rav would not be gove ksuva, and my own father would never be gove ksuva by having an amana make a shvua. So I can't do that for you. Shosi said to him, okay, so if you're not going to collect my ksuva, so at least provide me with mizonot, because now I have to stay. I don't have anything to live off of. So he said, I can't give you mizonot either, because Rav Yehuda said that according to Shmuel, once a woman is tovat k'tuvata be'beit din, then she does not get any support. Why? Because remember that the lashon of the ksuva is that I will provide you with support kol yemei megar amonotech be'beiti, so long as you continue to be my trustworthy wife who wants to represent our marriage and continue to live in my home. The moment you come and you say, I am out of here, baby, I need a new husband, you're no longer included in that, and I'm not supporting you any longer. So by the very fact that you went ahead and you were tovat, your ktuvah, which I couldn't get you, so now you lost your mizonot. So she said, I won't say the language that she said, but she said, you, and then the rest is, the rest is blanked out. You should drop dead. Afkula kurse. Turn over his chair, which means, you know, put him into the grave. What kind of idiot is this rabbi? First you paskin like Rav, and that way you can't give me the ksuva, and then you paskin like Shmuel, and that way you can't let me get mizonos. I mean, that is rishus of the extreme. So, oh gosh, they were very afraid. So immediately they took his chair and they literally turned it upside down so that they were hoping that way that will be the curse instead of what she really meant is he should drop dead into the grave. So they took the chair and they turned it upside down so that that would be the kiyum of the klola that she put on him. But it wasn't. And afilu hachi, the rest of his life, lo ifrak michulsha, he constantly was ill and because of this curse against him, he suffered the rest of his life. Amalei Rav Yehuda, now, we talked about Gavi's neighbor, Rav Yirmiya, who was in Birah. And today, we have another maisa that Rav Yehuda told Rav Yirmiya Birah. If a almana comes to you, I want you to make sure that you do allow her to take a neder in Bezdin, or you can even allow her to take a shvua if it's outside of Bezdin. Now, I'm teaching you this not as a theory. I'm waiting to hear that you actually did this. Okay? I want to hear it. Leite kala v'lipo ba'odne. Make sure that people know about it. And I want to hear the rumors about what you did. Because the be'ina ki'echa de'evid ba'maisa. I want to make sure that this becomes something that is accepted as the normative din. And that this is a disaster, what's happening, that women are unable to collect their ksuva, and therefore we need to go back now to the way it was. I don't want this business of people continuing Rav, what Rav did during his time. Things have changed, and we need to make sure that it never happens again, that a woman should come in and not be able to collect her ksuva. Anyway, getting back to what we said before in the name of Shmuel, Gufa, Amr Bizera Meshmuel, Loshana Ela Almana. Of a grusha, mashbi'inotas. We said before that we don't have this chashash about a grusha. We only worry about an almana. So what does that mean? That apparently we never made the takana of Rav Gamliel when it comes to a grusha. And that a grusha, actually, she would need to take a shvua. And she was not able to just make a neder the way that an almana was, right? That's what it was mashma. But is that true? Ugrusha da adra lo. You're telling me that if a grusha would take a neder, that wouldn't be good enough? She would actually need to do it the way it was originally, and that Rabbi Gamliel only made this as a takana for almanot. But it once happened that this couple that had been living in Bavel, and they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael, the bank accounts and properties were still back in Bavel, right? So the Bezdin in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael, said back to Bavel that we're telling you that this particular woman, Plonita bat Ploni, she received a get here in front of us, here in Eretz Yisrael, from the hands of her husband, Mr. Achar bin Hidya, and that guy is known also by the other name, and here's where we use the Lashon in our normal Gittin, comes from this Gemara, the Mitkarya, who is known as Ayamari, and he's got this other nickname, Ayamari, and she took a netter, a netter? This is a get. That's what they wrote. She took a netter and accepted upon herself that if she had ever gotten a penny of this ketuvah, then the peirot of the olam are going to be osur on her. And she admitted to having received from her ketuvah a coat and a tehillim and a worn-out sefer Iyov and Mishlei. What an insight into a world, right? Is that unbelievable? Mamish. Whew. Tears your heart out. So she said, Lo kabilat miktuvata. During her whole life, the only thing that she told her husband to deduct from her ketuvah, she desperately wanted her own sefer tehillim. Her husband couldn't afford it. So she took it off of her ketuvah. She wanted a sefer Mishlei. What a woman. She wanted a sefer Mishlei. And she wanted also a sefer Iyov. So he found the used sefer Mishlei and Iyov that was used, and he bought her that off of her ketuvah. And she brought them in. She brought the old coat in, and she brought the sefer, the two svarim. And we, here in Beis Din, we had them actually assessed for their full value. And they were worth chamisha mona. This is probably in some Rishonim say beferish, this is not referring to mana of the Mea Mana, it's referring to a mana of Medina, which is only worth a shminis of the, so it's a tiny part of her ksuva, right? And she now has the right to collect the rest of her ksuva. So, l'kishetavola yatchem, when she comes to you in Bavel, have her collect from the Atomim, she can collect the rest of her ksuva. And it says that she was a grusha. And you said that a grusha would have actually have to take a shvua. So what's going on? Rav Ashi, this was not a normal gerushin. When they said a get, it was referring to a get yabmin. So this was a get, Rashi learns, this was a get that one of the yavamim had given her that ossered her on the other yavams. And that therefore she was entitled to collect from her dead husband, from her estate, because she was now going to need chalitza. So she was able, after the chalitza, to collect from that ktuva. And there means that, of course, she was an almana, not a grusha. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat because he says, why would they mention the get? The important thing was it would, after the chalitza, because she wouldn't be allowed to collect her ktuva from her deceased husband unless that she had already taken her chalitza. So Tosfos learns, at least the relearns, that get yabmin means exactly what it's saying. The yavama had actually been mityabemet. Then the yavam was megarisher. So in this case, she was actually collecting the ksuva, because that's the din of the yavama. She collects the ksuva from the property of her deceased husband still, right? And so you'll ask, well, wait a minute. A Yavama, there should be no problem, because obviously there were no heirs, because otherwise she wouldn't be a Yavama. So, and the whole problem was that we're afraid that she's going to be Meira Heter, and she's going to say, well, at least I should get babysitting money. So where's the babysitting money here? So the Re says the babysitting money is, I had to babysit this guy's lousy brother all the time. I deserve something for that, don't I? So she would still be Meira Heter in that she married his brother. Look, I mean, going to be a Yavama is definitely strong grounds for Mora Heter. And then the bum goes and divorces me at the end too, you know? So, okay, you could certainly understand the Ras Heter over here. That's how Tosfos learns. Anyway, so you say that she should take a netter. So, Yitkin Rabbi Gamliel, Hazaken, Shetei no deret. Omer Avuna, but wait a minute. If she had already gotten married, so then, what good is a netter? After all, her new husband can be made for her netter. So she figures, okay, I'll say whatever they want. What do you want me to say? I won't go to Richie's Island. I won't be Nene from Richie's Island. How can you live without being Nene from Richie? So I asked my husband to be made for the Nene for me. Big deal, right? So therefore, this whole takana only works if she didn't go and get married to somebody else. But Niseit ain't Madirinuta. Why not? Because what? Because her husband's going to be Mefila, the Mefila Bala. So then, even if she didn't get married, she could always make the Shvua, then go ahead and get married, and then have her husband be Mefila, right? So Lechi Mitzvah Mefila Bala. What's the matter with you, man? Ain't about Mefila B'Kud mean. If she made the Neder before she got married, so then the new husband cannot be made for her Neder. So therefore, there's no problem. Well, wait a minute. If you're concerned that she's going to get rid of her Neder, she could always go to a Chacham and be mad to the Neder. So what good will this do? Once you got to worry about a husband, you got to worry about a Chacham too. Ah, that's because Rav Huna holds. You don't have to worry about a Chacham because when you are going to ask for Heter Nedarim, you have to define precisely what brought you to make this Neder and why it is you're changing your mind. And therefore, according to him, there would be no problem. Tzarech lefaret es haneder. Reb Nachman says, even if she already married, you can still have her collect the ksuvah based on a neder. What? Niseit? For sure her husband is going to, her husband's going to say, get that money, baby. You take whatever shvua they want for, and I'll take care of that, any neder, you want. I'll take care of that neder for you. Right? Nah, but we make her take the neder, berabim. So if we have 10 people there where she makes the neder, then you can't be made for it. Meisvei. Rav Huna claimed that once she's married, that she can't use a neder. It says, beferish in the Braita, niseit, once she gets married, govak tuvata im nadra, she can collect if she makes a neder. Doesn't that mean if she makes a neder now? No. Rav Huna says it means if she had made a neder. Oh, come on. What about this bride? Okay, can't get away with that, but this bride, Vatanya, niseit, if she gets married, then noderet. Now, that obviously means she can make a neder now. If she gets married, noderet v'govak tuvata. The farish not like Rav Huna. Well, actually, Tanoi, this is based on Machlokas Tanoi. There's one man, the armor holds a neder shuda barabim yeshlo hafara. But there's also man the Omar neder shuder barabim ein lo hafara. So the same way that we were mitakein, that she takes the neder barabim in order to avoid the problem of a chacham being matir, consider for a moment what the implication would be in terms of a husband if she took the neder barabim. Okay? On the one hand, when the Baal is mefer, he's made for it because all of the Nadarim are ultimately made on his das. So what does he care if she did it Barabim or not do it Barabim, you see? If we're talking about the Chacham, so then that means that the person was far more committed to the way people will view the interpretation of the Neder. But when it comes to the relationship between her and him in case of a husband, it shouldn't make any difference, even if she was Neder Barabim. Therefore, according to that Tana, a Baal can still be Mefer. So even if it was Barabim. So the Braisa that said that even after she got married, she can still go make a Neder, that holds, according to the Tana, that even a Baal can't be Mefer. But Rav Huna holds, no, I can prevent a Chacham from being Matir, but I can't prevent a Baal from being Mefer. So actually, there's this whole Shaila. Yibaylu. Tzarich lefaret et haneder ayno tzarich. What's the bottom line? Do you have to say over the entire circumstance of a neder when you're going for heter nedarim? Or do you just say, listen, I made this neder and I need to be mad to the neder for very pressing circumstances. I changed my mind. I feel it was a terrible thing that I did. Or does the chacham say, well, why don't you tell me why you made the neder? It's a very cute story by Rabbi Bon in the Yerushalmi that Tosfos brings over here. So this guy comes in and he says to Rabbi Bon, I made this neder, a terrible neder, that I'm not going to profit anymore. No more revach for me. So Rabbi Bon says, no more revach? There's people who make cuckoo neders like that. Why don't you explain to me why you made the neder? Well, I was having a little bit of a problem in Las Vegas, and I've been blowing every cent I have on the slot machines, so I made a netter that I won't profit. So Rebbe Bunt says, Baruch Shebochar B'chachomim. Okay. If I hadn't learned that you need to figure out why a person makes a netter, I would have gone ahead and said, that's a terrible netter. I'll be mounted the netter. And this guy would have gone back to Las Vegas. Whew. Anyway, it's a very cute story. So Reb Nachman says, you do not have to be mefari. And Reb Papa says, you do have to be mefari. Rav Nachman says, look, I understand why there's obvious advantages in being mefarid. However, it's not a good idea to make a takana like this, because if a guy will always have to be mefarid, then remember that to a chacham, every last detail is important, right? Now, if we're telling the chacham he can rely on what this guy is mefarid, and the guy leaves out one detail, which to him, it's embarrassing or whatever, you know. So he wants to leave out that detail. So the Chacham will assume that he's been given all of the details and on that basis will make his determination. But that may lead itself to a Torah B'Ta'ut. So therefore, it's better because Iyamrit Sarich, we're going to say he does have to Zimnin de Gaiz Leila Diburi. He can cut out like a little embarrassing part. And the Chacham, Maideshama Mefer. Rav Papa says, no, what can you do? Mishum Milsa Di Surah. It's very possible that this guy made this netter in order to prevent himself from being over on Isurim or stealing, like the case that we have over here. And therefore, you do have to be mafar at the netter. Asks the Gemara from a Beferish Mishnah in Bechorot, Tnan. Hanosei Nashim Ba'avera, we have a Kohen, and he takes up with these women that are usher to a Kohen. And now he's come to Yerushalayim, you know, and he wants to do Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. We tell him, listen here, mister, you've got a bad reputation. You are married to non-kosher women. We Kohanim that are married to non-kosher women can't do the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. So what he could do is he could make a neder that he will never be nene from this woman. So then that means that obviously he's going to have to divorce her because that remechayev you if you can't be nene from the woman, you have to divorce her. Okay, so he's going to divorce her. And Tani Allah, the Brisa says that he can first take the neder and then he can go and do the avodah right then and there. And then when he comes out of the Beis HaMikdash, he can find his wife and divorce her when he gets back, if she's not with him, right? So what does that show you? That shows you that, in fact, even though we call this, you know, Yored, meaning he's Yored from the Mizbeach. So even though he's not yet divorced, now, if you're telling me, Reb Nachman, that he can go home and he does not have to explain why he made this neder, he's saying, go to a chacham. Einot tzarech lefaret et haneder. So then he can always get out of the neder. Lechash dimazu l'gabei chacham. He says, you know, I got terrible, I made a neder, never to be neder from my wife. Oh, terrible thing, says the Chacham. You have to learn to get along with your wife, you know. You shouldn't jump and make nedarim. We'll be mati the neder for you, but learn to have a little patience. Great. The guy knows exactly how to present it. He doesn't have to even fire the neder. So how can we, the Mishnah, allow him to do the Aveda, according to Reb Nachman? So Reb Nachman says, the Madrin and Leber Rabim. Well, we've already seen that we can make the neder impossible to be matir. Now, wait a minute. We saw it was a machlokas. But what about according to the Mandiyomer, yesh lo hafara? So how do you understand the Mishnah? That the Mishnah says over there that we're not worried. Basically, the Mishnah says we're not worried that he's going to get a heter to the neder. So how do you explain that? If you hold the neder, shud barabim, yesh lo hafara, so then Reb Nachman obviously is wrong. It must be. The reason that we don't have to worry about it is because he's going to be telling the Chacham what the circumstances were that led him to make this neder. Baruch Avram, it's very impressive to be able to maintain that state of straight back. Barnea should only learn this from you. And to nonetheless not have those little patches that make it look like your eyes are open, which is, you know, Barnea is great on that, but until he smacks his head against the screen. But you do a great job closing your eyes, but keeping completely straight. I'm assuming that you do a lot of breathing exercises, you know, deep abdominal breathing, which prevents keeling over on your Zoom screen. Okay. So we seem to have a problem, according to Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman says we don't have to be mefired the netter. Ah, we can insure against a chacham being matir. How? Because we can be matir al das rabim, which is different than being matir bi rabim. D'omar ha-mema. The halacha is that afilu l'man d'omar, neder shudar bi rabim yesh lo hafara, a neder that's made al da'at rabim, ein lo hafara. So if you go ahead and you say, this is the way that we do this, we've seen this, remember, we learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu, remember the beautiful Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's not on your das that I'm being taking your neder over here to be nichmas lebris. It's on my das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das. Okay. So we do the same thing. We say, not al datcha, but it's on the das of the Bezdin and so on. So we do that al das rabim. And therefore, ein lo hafara. Now, even if you made a neder al das rabim, which lechora should ensure against the hatara, we talk about over here not hafara, but hatara, I mean, we're using the language loosely, obviously, so we're talking about the chacham, that even that is only a problem if the guy's trying to get out of his neder for a dvar harishut. If he's trying to get out of his neder for a dvar mitzvah, then even if it's al das rabim, we do not have to get the rabim to say that it's okay. Because we have an umdana that mistama, the rabim, would be happy for this guy to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. Like there was this meiser, we've had this meiser before. There was this certain teacher, and Rav Acha made him take a neder, al das rabim, that he would not teach kids because he used to abuse all of these kids. And he had to take I'm not going to be a school teacher anymore. And then Ravina was mater, the neder, because they couldn't find such a good school teacher. So Mamela, they said, okay, so he'll get rid of a couple of kids now and then, you know, I guess, but what can you do? You know? So because of that, you see that they were matir the neder to allow him. Why? Because it's a Dvar Mitzvah that they should have the proper teacher. So Ahad Ravina, the lo yishtakach, the dayak avasay. They had good teachers, but they didn't have one that was so medayak. So it comes along with some, you know, punishment here and there, tying up the kids to the fan, turning on the fan. They didn't all make it out, but what can you do? Okay, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will continue with the real big takana of Chatima Laget, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. And meanwhile, I'm wishing everybody a Chodesh Tov Mivorach.